Good morning, Tucson, Arizona. Welcome to Jump in Tucson. I am your host, Grant Kruger. Very excited to be here with you this Wednesday morning, September 25th. I had the great pleasure this weekend of having my folks come in to visit from Detroit, Michigan. Now, perhaps some of you listeners out there know that I'm from Detroit. I talk about Detroit an awful lot in its comparisons to the old Pueblo over here. And I think that there's a lot more parallels than you might think. And it's not as negative as well as you might think as well, too. When you think of Detroit, it always gets banged on for its sort of municipal decay, right? The urban rust belt and the way the city has declined. But there's also an incredible amount of civic pride in Detroit that sometimes I think is lacking here in the old Pueblo, and we could use a little bit of. For example, we had the opportunity to travel up to Phoenix, Arizona this weekend to see our beloved Detroit Lions take on the Arizona Cardinals. And when you were at that stadium this weekend, there was more Detroit Lions fans than there were Cardinals. Truly, State Farm Stadium turned blue on the whole right side of it. And it was pretty stunning to see just that level of municipal pride, not just for a city, but for a football team that pretty much is the worst or perhaps even second worst football team in NFL history. And here were tens of thousands of fans chanting not only Jared Goff, but just pride in their own city. Something that I think we could learn a lot from here in the old Pueblo about how to be proud of our own municipality. It wasn't that long ago that Detroit was absolutely on the ropes, in the same way that we're on the ropes over here in the 520. On July 18th, 2013, Detroit declared bankruptcy, pretty much the largest municipal bankruptcy in the history of the United States, right? At the absolute bottom of the real estate market over there. There was a time and place just after the real estate crash in 2007, 2008, where you could buy houses, brick houses, 2,000 square foot brick houses in my parents' neighborhood for $5,000 to $10,000 cash. This was the housing price. And so I've got live in studio right next to me over here from Detroit, Michigan, my father, Larry Kruger. Good morning, Larry. Dad, I'm really excited to have you here this morning. We're talking a bit of the old Pueblo and how this relates to Detroit. Now, to begin with, there's more parallels than our guest might think. We have a fair bit of border cityness to us, right? Detroit was next to Windsor, Ontario?
Absolutely.
Right? And so we had cross-border commerce in the same way that Tucson might have with Mexico, right? About 45 minutes away from Nogales, you know, Sonora, we had Windsor, Ontario. We also have a population base in Detroit that I think in the latest U.S. Census was only 620,000 people, right?
That's correct.
And now there's a municipal area of a few million people surrounding that. But if you think of the parallels to Tucson, we had a population of about 542,000. Not that far from Detroit, as you might think. And of course, there's over a million people in Pima County, twice the size. So there's quite a bit of, let's call it suburbs, of both of these cities, which can affect negatively in some way, shape, or form our view of the city when so much of our population base doesn't actually live in the city proper. As well, we had pretty huge mass transportation failures, right? Detroit ran its streetcars out of the city in the 1950s, selling them to Mexico City, right? Because this was the motor city. We needed you to produce automobiles. And as well, created a freeway system that was so good, so thorough, that it actually bypassed large parts of the core of the city of Detroit so the wealthy suburbanites could drive right over the city and into the urban core to visit its stadiums and sports teams. However, much like Tucson, Arizona, we lost a lot of our sports teams in the city, right? The Pistons moved up to the Pontiac Silverdome at some point, and then later to the Palace of Auburn Hills at Tony's suburb of Detroit. And, you know, this sort of thing hurt us as a team. The Lions moved to the Silverdome as well, too. And a parallel could be said for Tucson. We lost our spring training. We've lost our PGA golf tournament, although we certainly have a senior tournament now, right? And recently, Arizona has lost its hockey team, and gosh, we almost lost our Tucson Roadrunners over here. And that hurts a lot with municipal pride, right, in the city in some capacity. Seeing everybody wear a D hat, that old English D, really makes me think about how we could have some sort of logo or slogan or something here in Tucson. I'd love to see an Old English tea or something like that, like a logo that we would all get behind for all of our teams over here in some way, shape, or form for the Old Pueblo. Perhaps it's the U of A Block A in some capacity, but I really think that we need something that's Tucson-related. I remember that a group a few years ago called the Underestimated City that had done a little a store on 4th Avenue, and they had a TUC logo on that hat. And somewhere we need to like revisit something along these lines and think of some Old English tea to have some pride here in Tucson, as opposed to it just being called the Dirty Tea. Now, there were also a pretty major east-west border that separates Detroit from the suburbs, right? What street would that be, Dad?
Was that Outer Drive we're referring to?
No, we're referring to 8 Mile Road
over here.
Although 8 Mile separated our border from our house. But 8 Mile, right, with the movie with Eminem, runs east and west and sort of separates the proletariat of Tucson and the bourgeois that live in the nice suburbs further to the north. Kind of reminds me of River Road a bit there, my listener friend, right? The border between unincorporated Pima County and the city of Tucson, with so many of our wealthy residents living north of that border and not participating in city politics. And both the city of Tucson and Detroit have had infamously weak municipal governments for many, many years, leading to our particular demise. If you think of the corruption that happened in the city of Tucson with Rio Nuevo, hundreds of millions of dollars disappearing, mistakes that we've made with the transportation and the free bus. You know, we just had Josh Jacobson on before from the Tucson Crime Free Coalition, and they call that the crime bus, right? As the homeless and fentanyl population are now allowed to travel throughout the city, you know, spreading their joy into all different corners than what we had before. Now, a decade later, from this municipal bankruptcy, Detroit has risen from the ashes. The sports teams have returned to its downtown with new stadiums. There are new vibrant restaurants and hotels. And as terrible as the bankruptcy was, they have truly, truly risen from the ashes. And I believe that there's a way for us to do this in the Old Pueblo as well. I'm not giving up on the Tucson that I moved to 30 years ago and still love to this day. And growing up in Detroit with my father taught me to be gritty, to root for the underdogs, right? From a place that comes up from the bottom. And I came up from the bottom, and I think Tucson can come up from the bottom as well, too. And when we come back after the break, we're going to bring in Steve Spain, candidate for Pima County Supervisor District 1. Steve thinks we can come up from the bottom as well, too. He's got some great ideas on how we're going to improve Pima County and the Old Pueblo. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Grant and Larry Krueger on Jump in Tucson, 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. Little Motown action over there from Matt Neely Esquire, bringing the tunes over for us on Jumpin'. We're live back in studio with my father, Larry Krueger, and Pima County Supervisor candidate Steve Spain. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Grant. Thanks for having me in today.
Hey, thanks for coming back to Jumpin'. Steve's now a Jumpin' Tucson alumni. We had you back in May. We're talking all things on your campaign. How's it going so far?
Busy and good. The enthusiasm is way up, and the feedback I'm getting has been overwhelmingly fantastic. I'm very, very pleased with where we are right now.
So the election, for those keeping score, is not that far away. You might think November 5th and think 42 days, but those early ballots come out on October 9th. Given that this is September 25th, that's a couple weeks. How's it going here in crunch time? What are you doing these last couple weeks?
Slamming. I have as much contact as I can possibly make and trying to be as visible as possible.
So we were talking before the break, all things Detroit, right? Rising up from the ashes, ways that my father and I have seen our original hometown over here come up from the absolute bottom and start to work its way back into prosperity. And I believe Tucson can do that as well, too. What do you think about that? What changes could you make to help make Tucson a better place?
I saw a very interesting article just Monday, I believe, celebrating the fact that Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Corporation now is producing all of Apple's A16 chips, whatever they, I don't know if those go in the iPads or where they use those chips, but those are now American-made here in the state of Arizona, not in the Tucson area. we've time and again failed to take care of those fundamental responsibilities that we have as a county. Make sure that the roads are good. Make sure that the roads go where they need to go and can handle the traffic volumes. And build out enough infrastructure that we can support businesses like that coming in. And what we end up doing is repelling them. Those would be very good paying jobs. That's a massively demanded sector. Why aren't we participating in that? Why does all of that go to Phoenix? Why are we left behind? And it's because we're not taking care of the fundamentals. We're not focused on the core responsibilities of city and county government. And we've been drilling ourselves deeper and deeper into a hole, focused on everything but what we need to do to make this a more attractive town to folks who want to come here, live here, build a career here, and build a better city with all of us together.
We've been talking about jobs forever on Jump in Tucson. It's one of the primary topics that I love to extol upon our listeners is what can we do to create jobs here in the Old Pueblo? Because with every high-paying job we create, that helps out the housing market, that helps out, you know, the tourism market. It trickles down into every aspect of the economy over here. And it's something that we continuously lack time and time again, are the ability to attract businesses that employ lots and lots of people.
It's such a pain point, and it's such a frustrating thing to see. And I will be perfectly candid. You know, I've been able to build my career because I spent at least half of my career working remotely. And that's kind of a shame. You know, I love this community. I love this town. This is my hometown. This is where I want to be. Never mind the fact that I don't think I would survive a Detroit winter. But I love the heat. I love being here. This is my home. And so I have been able to build a successful career staying here. I'm fortunate that I've been able to do that. But boy, wouldn't it be better for graduates of the U of A to have opportunities here in town, to be able to stay, build their careers, build their families, build their lives here in the Old Pueblo. This is such a magnificent town. The history that we have here is tremendous. It's such a beautiful part of the world. I can't imagine wanting to be anywhere else. And so if you've come here for school, I'd love to be able to attract you to stay.
So you're a University of Arizona graduate, like myself over here, bear down. And you also spent some time in the hospitality industry as well, too. Give us a quick overview of your career arc here.
I knew from a very early age I was going to be in IT. Please don't hold that against me, listeners. Yes, I'm an IT guy. I love technology. I've been a technologist for a lot longer than I care to admit. So my entire education path was that direction, obviously. And I ended up with my dual major in management information systems and operations management from the Eller College of Business right here at the U of A. Very proud of that fact. And kind of stumbled into hospitality. I actually just by a fairly random chance ended up fixing a pretty nasty problem at a local hotel and parlayed that into a career with Starwood Hotels and Resorts that has now since become part of Marriott. I actually had left that company, did a little foray into biotech here in town, and have gotten back into hospitality technology. I love the tech, don't get me wrong. There's something magical about hospitality and being able to help put a smile on a face of somebody who's come into town, you know, maybe just needs to get an email off for work and they're struggling to get connected, get them set up and get them on with the rest of their day. I've met so many interesting people and had so much fun in hospitality. It really is a great industry, and being able to see the room side, being able to see F&B, I mean, find me an IT guy who doesn't enjoy a good meal. Yeah, I'm a little partial to the F&B side of things. Hospitality is a great gig, and it's so critical in Tucson, where, you know, you look at the five C's of Arizona, right? Copper, cattle, cotton, citrus, climate. People come here for the climate. They come here to get away. Tourism is integral to our economy. Hospitality is integral to our economy. I think that's so important.
Without a doubt. So you're no stranger to politics, though, now, Steve. You ran again in 2020, right? You won the Republican primary, if I recall correctly, mm-hmm. for Pima County Board of Supervisors?
Absolutely correct. That was me, again, kind of stumbling into it. I had no desire necessarily to get into politics, but it very much became a question of, we have a good supervisor. She's retiring. We need somebody who will continue to do good work in that role. And I very much looked at it then and look at it now as an opportunity for service. I see myself as capable of it, willing to take on the role. Why wouldn't I offer my services to the county and try to get us to a better place? Like I said, I'm willing to do it. I'm very capable of doing that. And I'm proud to be able to run again. And I'm grateful for the tremendous level of support I've had, especially this year. I mean, this will offend some people, but the reality is the neighbors we have in District 1 are just some of the best people in town. I love these folks, and it's been great.
Now, you got 65,835 votes, if I'm counting correctly, in the year 2020. Mm-hmm. And out of 132,000 voters, that left you only 730 votes shy of winning that seat in 2020, correct?
Yep. It was razor thin. It was a painfully close margin. But again, talk about a humbling experience. I had not been out in the public eye. I had not held any other office. It's not like I was working my way up into this. Most of these fine folks in District 1 had no idea who I was, took the opportunity to get to know me at least a little bit and learn about me, and were so gracious in supporting me through the primary and through the general. What can you say? But these folks are tremendous, and I am deeply, deeply grateful to every one of them.
I'm certainly not Nostradamus when it comes to elections over here, but this was by far the closest race in Pima County Supervisor in an awful long time, separated by only 730 votes. Looking at both the voter registrations and, you know, current races that we're having coming up this year in 2024, this one also shapes up to be most likely the closest race of all the supervisor races, and I feel like it doesn't get talked about nearly as much as it probably should. Why do you think that is?
I have my suspicions that certain parts of the media don't want to bring attention to this one. I do think it's going to be close. I do believe it will be close in the opposite direction of 2020. I believe that we will win this one. And I think there are elements that are trying to fight that. But the reality is, we now have a bigger mess to clean up after these last 4 years, not just for District 1, but for the whole of Pima County. So this has created more work for me based on what I thought I would have to do 4 years ago. And again, it's work that I'm willing to do. And I am eager to put myself at the disposal of our neighbors in District 1 and, frankly, all of Pima County.
So at the moment, the Board of Supervisor makeup is 4 Democrats, 1 lone Republican. What difference would having a second Republican on the Board of Supervisors do for county governance?
That's a very common question, and that's one a lot of people wonder. I do think we have a very solid chance of, if not a 4-1 flip the other direction, at least a 3-2 majority this year. We have very solid candidates. As a matter of fact, we have great candidates running in offices across the county and for state offices as well. I'm very proud to stand shoulder to shoulder with these folks. I do think if I'm going out on a limb, I think we take the majority this year. I think people are frustrated. I think people are disgusted. I think we will take the majority this year. If by some chance we don't, and if it's Steve Christie and myself, I will say I've learned in the past 4 years a great deal more about messaging and how to demonstrate what the county's been doing. So I will take it as my job to continue that after every board meeting, making sure to explain to not just District 1, but all of Pima County, here's what they're doing to you, and get that word out there.
A bold statement by Pima County Supervisor candidate Steve Spain over here, predicting a Republican majority on the Board of Supervisors after our November 5th election. That would be a very substantive change in Pima County and the way things go down. And that hasn't happened, Steve, in an awful, awful long time. When we come back after the break, we're going to talk about a recent op-ed that Steve wrote that was published in the Arizona Daily Star, talking a bit about the deficit budgets that we are actually running in Pima County. We just talked about the crazy deficits and how these sort of things can affect a municipal government. My dad and I come from Detroit, a place where their municipal government literally went bankrupt. And Steve's got some worry that we're heading in the wrong direction here in Pima County. A couple more segments with Pima County Supervisor candidate for District 1, Steve Spain, and my father, Larry Krueger, when we come back after the breaks. Thanks for spending your morning with Jump In Tucson. Welcome back to Jump In Tucson. I am your host, Grant Krueger. You are listening to 1030 AM The Voice, KVOI. Jump in Tucson is a show that talks about all things local here in the old Pueblo in the 520. Tomorrow, we've got Tom Moulton coming up from the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. He's bringing in Marty Conroy and Rick Collins from the historic Empire Ranch. They're going to talk about some of Tucson's best attractions every Thursday on Jump in Tucson. On Friday, we've got Dr. Ed Ackerley talking all things the University of Arizona. And of course, on Tuesdays, you get Ted Maxwell from the Southern Arizona Leadership Council every week on his engagement hour. But we've got another segment over here with my father, Larry Krueger, coming in hot from Detroit, and Steve Spain, Pima County Supervisor candidate from District 1, saying that we're not going to let Tucson fall into Detroitness over here, but it may be going a little better for the big D out there than you might think. And so, Steve, you had just written an op-ed that got published in the Daily Star about the heavy, heavy deficit that is affecting Pima County right now. And the incumbent, Rex Scott, is saying there is no deficit. Can you explain the difference in your opinions?
I would argue this is an opinion. These are published facts. So all the numbers that I've presented publicly come directly from Pima.gov, directly from the budgets that Deficit Rex Scott has voted for four times since he's been in. This is his record. And he is, as far as I'm concerned, gaslighting the county, claiming that, oh, no, it's not a deficit because we're backfilling this chasm between expenditures over revenues by issuing new credit and by spending federal funds. Well, I'll give you 35 trillion reasons why every federal dollar Pima County spends is a deficit dollar, because the federal government is hurting even worse than we are. So that argument's out the window. And he publicly celebrates the fact that just a few weeks ago, he passed another $95 million of credit in our names. Now, just to make the math easy, if you figure we have about 1 million people in Pima County, and yeah, it's a little bit more than that, but we'll make the numbers easy. If you have about 1 million people in Pima County, that means every one of us, man, woman, and child, needs to reach into our pockets and pull out $95 to cover the credit he just issued. $55 million of that is against future sewer revenues. Okay. Pima County Wastewater operates as what they call an enterprise fund. They should be able to self-fund because they charge us separate fees for our wastewater usage. We have sewer fees that appear on our bills each month. So this new credit that Rex Scott is so happy to have passed is actually a hidden tax on that, because 5-6 years down the road when that's coming due, it dilutes the power of what we're spending out of our own pockets on our water bills, on our sewer bills, then to fund the wastewater system then. So they will have to charge more to make up for it.
So right? We're essentially robbing from our future right now.
Absolutely. We're mortgaging our future right and left. And the amount of credit that they issue is shameful. They have managed to go from taking $1.1 billion a year in revenue before this board came in to turning around right off the bat and spending just over $2 billion their first year, and then backing off ever so slightly. They've spent, in four budgets, over $7 billion. And again, the county was taking in just over $1 billion when these folks came in. So they've spent 7 years' worth of revenue in four. Anywhere else in the world, if I had ever put forth that kind of a budget to any of my supervisors and done so four times in a row, I'd been out of a job. You cannot argue that with expenditures so much higher than your revenues, it's not a deficit budget. It very much is. And if you're using credit and if you're using federal deficit dollars to backfill, you're not making it any better. You're just compounding the problem and pushing it to the future.
Wise words by somebody from the private sector. And it's one of the reasons I love to see private sector individuals get involved in government, right? Because until you've paid a rent, a mortgage, made the payroll for hundreds of employees, having to move heaven and earth from all of your corporate and personal finances, you may not fully understand what it's like to run a budget like that. Pima County's got a $2 billion with a B dollar budget over here, run by an awful lot of individuals who don't have any experience in the private sector, correct?
Very correct.
And so What kind of help are you getting in this race over here? We're looking at something that should be so close. You got in the most recent primary 22,515 votes, and in Rex's total primary for the Democrat and his challenger, they got 21,017 votes. So there was actually 1,500 more Republican votes cast.
Actually, I think those numbers are a little bit outdated. I think the final count came in, I had more on the order of 26,000.
Oh, wow. So, but either way, you had an increase of votes over the incumbent right now. This election is going to be really, really razor thin and close. What sort of help are you getting from the Republican Party on this?
I don't know. My gut's telling me it's not going to be razor thin. It's going to be close, but it'll be okay. I am shocked at the difference between the support I'm getting now and from 4 years ago. I don't know how much of that was because it was COVID. I don't know how much of that was whatever other factors, but the amount of support and help that I've received from the legislative districts, from the party, is so much better, and I believe has been so much more effective so far this year than it was 4 years ago. These folks are force multipliers, and I hope this comes through consistently with what I've been saying. I am deeply, deeply grateful to everybody who has volunteered to sling some rebar into a ground. I've had multiple instances, and this didn't happen 4 years ago, multiple instances of road signs of ours that have taken damage, or whether it be vandalism, weather, what have you. And I rolled up on one, there was a ton of duct tape and literal baling wire trying to hold that sign onto the rebar for dear life. I have no idea who stopped and felt it was so important to do that. How do you thank somebody for something like that? That, you know, okay, they tried to tack a sign up. That means an awful lot to me because I am putting so much of myself into this campaign to have somebody think highly enough of what I'm trying to do to pull over and go out of their way to fix a stinking sign. I couldn't be more grateful. I am so deeply indebted to these folks. It is humbling, and I'm not often at a loss for words. I think you've heard me kind of trying to figure out how to put it there, because I genuinely am touched by what the supporters out there are doing.
So what can we do as Republican supporters to help, you know, bridge this great schism that we've had in the party? We see locally the very difficult races between, you know, Senators Vince Leach and Justine Wadsack. We even saw a pretty divided party between Juan Ciscomani and Kathleen Wynne as well, too. The primaries are over. There's a fair bit of division amongst the Republican Party. What do you feel, Steve, that we can do to help heal that and move forward and be successful in this election on November 5th?
I think folks are starting to figure out that we just need to be active and vocal, and we play the hand that we're dealt. And so we support the candidates. We should be supporting the candidates who made it through the primary. There is a great deal more at stake than just the individual office. When you look at the houses of Congress, you need to worry about who has control, because that's what dictates who gets to set up committees. That has so much in the way of knock-on effects. It's very important that we retain that control. And I do think that if we keep ourselves in that leadership position and then hold the feet to the fire, and we're seeing that with these folks, the precinct committeemen and the average Joes who are in the community, who are interested, who are active, who are speaking up, we can affect those positive outcomes. Even if you're not exactly a supporter of that candidate, be active, be vocal, get yourself educated on the issues and on how the individuals are voting, and talk with your neighbors, talk with your friends, and 2 years from now, 4 years from now, influence the election again. But play the hand you're dealt, especially looking at some of the races at higher levels, state and national. There is a massive difference between some of these candidates and not supporting one of our candidates, a good conservative candidate, over somebody else, could spell even worse for our country in the 4 years ahead.
So that election is coming up again October 9th, listeners. Those ballots go out into the mail over here. We're expecting probably a 90% mail-in ballot election over here as well, too. Certainly the Republican Party has strayed away from the 2020 narrative of hold that ballot and go in person. And I think it's vote early and get out there quickly on this one so that this isn't necessarily decided on election night. Because again, in not just in Pima County, but in the state of Arizona and even nationwide, we no longer have an election night. We truly have an election month. And that one's coming up in just a couple of weeks. So coming up, we got one more segment with Pima County Supervisor candidate Steve Spain. We're going to break down some differences between him and the incumbent, talking all things municipal elections coming up in Pima County. You're listening to Grant Kruger on Jump in Tucson, 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. Thank you again for spending part of your Wednesday morning with us here on Jump In. We've got one remaining section with my father, Larry Kruger, coming in live from Detroit, and Pima County Supervisor, Republican candidate for District 1, Steve Spain. Steve, welcome back.
Thank you, Grant.
Hey, so we were talking about this election month before the break over here, and there are going to be 13 ballot initiatives out there. This sounds like it's going to be one of the longest ballots we've ever seen, no?
What I'm hearing so far between the ballot initiatives, between the federal, state, local races, between the judges, between the school district elections, the school district bonds that are on there, there is so much from what I'm hearing that in most ballot styles we're expecting, if not all, two pages, two physical sheets of paper for a ballot. Ordinarily, I'd be a little bit concerned with the fact that it's election month, but realistically speaking, we have that on the calendar. Those early ballots are going to go out to the vast majority of the voters. Take your time. Take your time. Utilize the fact that you don't have to send it in within 24 hours. You'll receive it in the mail. Don't delay, but take your time to go through and vote every race on that ballot. It's so important. Those undervotes hurt, and those undervotes have cost us races in the past. Look at the city of Tucson. If we can get the turnout, and if people will take the time, do it across a couple evenings. Do it with a cup of coffee in the morning. Do it with a glass of wine in the evening. Nobody's going to fault you for that. But spend your time, work your way through the ballots. Do a little bit of research if you have to. Talk with your friends, talk with your neighbors. Vote every race. It's so important that we do that.
Without a doubt. So how do you think it's going to be for you being down ballot on a Trump ticket, right? Probably one of the most difficult races that we've ever seen in our country's history is coming up over here. And you're going to be a candidate with an R further down that ballot. Does that help or hurt you?
If I'm candid, and I won't be anything but honest about this, I do believe in 2020 that hurt. I don't think that helped, especially when we look at how close that race became. But what I am hearing and what I am seeing as I'm talking with especially our independent neighbors is people feel the pain, people get it. And I do think that instead of being a headwind, that will be a bit of a tailwind this time. I do think it'll help more than it did 4 years ago. I think it's a good thing.
And so where can our listeners find more information about you, Steve, and your campaign? Where are you at today? Where can the listeners go to find out about Steve Spain?
I do make an effort to be reachable, and I do pick up my phone as long as I'm not on another call, which has happened twice already this week. But my phone number is 520-305-9469, and I do pick that one up. You can also email me, steve@votestevespain.com. That's Spain just like the country. And votestevespain.com is the website. Plenty of information up there, and I expect probably a little bit of a refresh on that here in the next week or so before the new ballots come out. So,
yeah, it's coming quick. As we said, October 9th is that day out there that you can start to make those selections and elections. We're going to have some shows coming up talking about some of these ballot initiatives and help break this down. I'm sure you'll hear from both Chris DeSimone on this channel on Wake Up Tucson. We're going to cover some of that on Jump In as well, too, as there's a lot of meat on that bone out there for our listeners to get a handle on and decide what they're going to support and what they're not going to support.
Oh, absolutely. There's so much there. I think it's really critical. Listen to Chris, listen to this show, get informed on these things so that you are prepared to sit down and work through all of that ballot. There is a lot there to cover.
Without a doubt. All the way down, even through like the judges' races. I just saw that Supreme Court Justice Robert Brutnell is going to retire at the end of October this year. And that's a big change for the Arizona Supreme Court as well, too. And there's going to be voting on there for people to even keep those, you know, justices and others as well, too, out there in the industry. All things that I'm hoping our voters can really get a handle on and stay on top of. There happens to be a judge that we're very fond of in the service industry up for re-election and under a lot of pressure, and that's Judge Kelly Johnson. She actually happened to vote for the industry when we sued Pima County and the health department over their COVID curfews, where they illegally shut down all the restaurants after 10 p.m., and this Ducey-appointed judge ruled in our favor and against the Pima County Health Department and municipal government in their attempts to keep us closed on that illegal curfew. And so just about every restaurant out there in Pima County owes Judge Johnson an adult beverage or a meal at an absolute minimum, if not more, but certainly even just a vote to retain would be fantastic for Judge Johnson and other judges out there who are really putting it out there for municipal services and probably making less money than they would be in the private sector for these sort of jobs as well, too, no?
Probably.
But speaking of the private sector, we've got Steve Spain that's taken time out of his job and professional career to run for politics, right? Something that all of us should be very thankful for, because these are very, very tough jobs to put this out there on the line, to leave yourself out there for criticism and op-eds in the newspaper, on Facebook, on X, on all of these various platforms. It's not something easy, but if we want to change the old Pueblo, if we want to change Tucson and Pima County for the better, it's got to start somewhere. At the beginning of our show, we talked about all the things that made the fall of Detroit and sort of the fall of Tucson and Pima County and how synonymous they might really be, how many parallels we have. And after that municipal bankruptcy on July 8th, 2013, there was a pretty massive change in municipal government that led to these changes in Detroit, that brought the stadiums back, that brought the sports teams back, that brought the civic pride back into a city that literally just last Sunday nearly filled up an entire NFL stadium with road fans 2,000 miles away from their city. Can we do that in Tucson? Can we do that here? I think we can, my listeners. I truly do think that we can make this change and move up for the better. As someone that was born and raised in a city that was an absolute joke nationwide for its urban decay, the way the Rust Belt fell apart and the way the jobs left, like, Detroit has absolutely turned for the better. And if you get an opportunity to visit downtown Detroit, I think you'll see it. You'll see the new restaurants, the hotels, things that would just be Rio Nuevo's dream here to get to. But it starts with that change in government. And that starts today. It's going to start on October 9th when you come out and vote. Keep an eye out for Steve Spain out there. This one is going to be tight. You know, go down ballot and fill those ones out. A big thank you to Steve for joining us again this morning. A big thank you to my father, Larry Kruger, for sitting in on studio with us as well.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on Jump in Tucson. Listeners, stay engaged, stay involved, fill out those ballots come election month. We're looking forward to it. Thanks for spending part of your morning with us on Jump in Tucson. 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Dennis Prager coming up next. Don't go anywhere.